Welcome back. Michael Warren Thomas here. It's Naturally Green. And for the first time in 26 years, I start a show without mentioning the radio station that I'm on because as of several days ago, I am no longer on the radio. I started 26 years ago on Hot Talk 1280 when I got the opportunity to buy the time from the station and have been doing some tours at Kepler's Gardens for, I think, for several years at that point, and telling people about the different perennials that were in their gardens. I've been shopping there as a landscape designer installer for several years, so I knew them well and knew their gardens and really enjoyed doing those tours. I think we still have some listeners who are on some of those tours 28 years ago. But I got the opportunity to buy the time on Hot Talk 1280 in 1994, 26 years ago, and Kepler's Gardens, which Stephen and Kathy Kepler, who now own Sarah's Garden Center in Brockport. That was Stephen's brother Frank who started that. Frank and Donna and their daughter Sarah started Sarah's Garden Center, and Stephen and Kathy later purchased that from them. And I am eternally grateful to Kathy and Stephen for their confidence that they showed in me when I started doing a radio show on gardening 26 years ago. I actually think I do have some cassette tapes from those early shows, and I'm not sure I want to listen to them. But I survived, and it's been a great run on the radio. Some of the explanation for why I'm no longer on WISL 1040 so suddenly, I posted to Facebook yesterday, and I'm really grateful for all the love and support of listeners and friends, people from virtually all stages of my life. Pretty much none of my elementary school teachers have posted, but it seems like largely many others from years ago. It's been great to read those posts. I'm not actually sad about leaving WISL 1040. I'm relieved that I was able to end that relationship quickly once I realized what they were posting to Facebook. So they did offer me some things to try and keep me on the station. None of those things involved changing what they were doing on Facebook, and I don't want to be associated with it. So I'm not going to get into what they were posting on Facebook. You can go and see it yourself. WISL 1040, that is the face, the public face of the station on the internet beyond their website. And it's, again, something that just in the past week, this came up. I was frankly concerned about broadcasting the station as the election got closer and the political climate got more contentious, more divisive, more inflammatory. Hard to believe that could be, but it may well happen before the election and maybe after the election. And so I gave the station 8 weeks' notice, said that I would leave by the end of July. This was a week ago. And I said, you got to change what you're doing on Facebook, or I would just as soon leave immediately. And they took me up on that offer and said, you can leave immediately. So that's the short story of why I'm no longer on the radio. I may be on the radio another station at some point. For now, my broadcasts will be here on my website, saverlife.com, and we'll be setting up the podcast links this next week. My sincere thanks, huge thank you to Chris Clemens of Exploring Upstate, who stepped up a couple months ago and helped. And didn't just help, he redesigned my website, made it much easier to use, much more much more current. All kinds of improvements that you can see and a lot of things you can't see that he did with the website. And the timing of that was propitious given the sudden departure from WYSL 1040. So I started out on Hot Talk 1280 for 7 years. And actually, when I switched to WYSL 1040, one of the main reasons I switched was it was a local independently owned station, and Hot Talk 1280 was owned by Clear Channel, big corporate radio, and I really appreciated a locally owned station. Like my sponsors and myself, I was independent broadcaster. I'd purchased the time on Hot Talk 1280 for 7 years. And when I left, when I told the station, WHTK, that I was leaving to go to WYSL 1040, they kind of laughed at me and said, "You're going to a shoebox in a cornfield." The station doesn't, WYSL does not have a big headquarters. It's much bigger now than it was 19 years ago. But I corrected him. It was a shoebox in a hayfield. There was no corn. It was a hayfield. And I really appreciated working with a local independently owned station. But after 19 years, I apparently have no leverage to alter what they portray on Facebook for the station. And so I've left. Again, I really appreciate all the comments and things on the Facebook posts that I did. If you didn't see that, you can read in somewhat more detail the situation. But I really appreciate all those comments and look forward to continuing to do radio or do some kind of shows, podcasts about gardening, food, wine, the Finger Lakes. This is an exciting time here in our region, and I had hoped to rival Doc and Katie Abraham on the radio. They were on WHAM for, believe it or not, 52 years. They passed away quite a few years ago now, both in their 80s when they were still broadcasting on WHAM. They recorded their half hour, and that's actually how I kind of got the idea to do a radio show. They were doing a pre-recorded half hour. I thought, why not? Why wouldn't WHAM want to do a live half hour where people could call in, and then they'd have a full hour of gardening, Doc and Katie for half an hour, and I would do a gardening show for half an hour that would be live. WHAM never wanted to do that, but when they purchased Hot Talk 1280, the opportunity to buy the time came up. And Doc and Katie were a big inspiration for doing the show, doing the gardening show. I listened to them for many years, and I don't think I've, maybe once in my 26 years of broadcasting, have I read a poem on the air. Katie used to do that each week, I wanted to rival their 52 years on the radio, and I've only made it halfway there, 26 years on the radio, and I'll be in my 80s if I rival them, at least through podcasting, if not more radio. And their books, The Green Thumb, which is the name of their radio show, those are still available as used books, probably. Unlikely to be found in as new books, but they published a lot of them. I actually helped type some of the manuscripts for them before I started my radio show. Got to know them a little bit, and they were not especially computer savvy at that point. And this is maybe closer to 28 years ago. And I wasn't very savvy either, but I could type and put things on a disc that I could send their publisher. And so I took their handwritten notes and handwritten manuscript, really, I just typed it for them, which was kind of fascinating and fun to work with them. So, but my actual inspiration for starting a radio show, it happened at Donuts Delight, everybody, under the previous ownership in 28 years ago. I love the donuts at Donuts Delight, and I was stopping there periodically, and one of the people behind the counter, a woman is there most every time I went in, probably worked there for many years, said, "You know, you have a great voice for radio." And by the time I was doing landscape design installation, but also teaching a lot of classes on gardening through continuing education. And her comment got me thinking that maybe I should consider some form of a radio show about gardening. And that's when I contacted WHAM about doing that live half hour side by side with Doc and Katie, or following them. But it was a conversation at Donuts Delight, and amazing how that was that many years ago. So if you want to send me comments or anything, you can always email me, michael@saverlife.com. I will talk a little bit more about the start of the show and what I've been doing with these 26 years. But first, the weather is so dry out there. And I was telling someone that it was dry, and they said, no, it rained. It rained pretty recently. They felt very confident that we'd had a fair amount of rain. And I'm looking at this forecast for the next 8 days, all sun. And people claim Rochester isn't sunny, but basically it's been sunny and it's going to continue through at least Friday. There is no rain in the forecast until Saturday, a week from now. And we pretty much haven't had any rain. So a couple days ago, we got 15/100ths of an inch. Now, put your fingers together and try to come up with 15/100ths of an inch, and you'll probably realize that's not very much water. That was on June 11th. We had 6/100ths of an inch on June 10th. I mean, these are amounts that don't even make the pavement wet. They just leave drops on the pavement that evaporate pretty much immediately. On June 6th, we had 1/100th of an inch. You know, try and see how much that is between your fingers find a ruler. Back on June 3rd, which is all of 10 days ago, we had 2/3 of an inch of rain, 0.69. That's not insignificant, but that's not going to last for 10 days and keep our plants watered. And before that, we had 7/100ths on June 2nd. We had 2/100ths on May 31st. We had 12/100ths on May 30th. I mean, these are such small numbers. And if you go back further, May 29th, we had about half an inch. And then we had virtually nothing, going back to almost half an inch on May 18th. And almost nothing before that. We've had very, very little rain. The weeds are wilting. When weeds and perennials that have been in for years, when they wilt, and I mean perennial weeds, things that are mugwort and other things that are pretty tough. When those things start wilting, or you drive along the side of the road and you see the weeds along the road wilting, things are really dry. So you got to do some watering. And at this point, it probably means your lawn and your trees and shrubs and your perennials and your vegetable garden are a really good soaking with a sprinkler for hours. I said this last week. Watering with a hand nozzle just doesn't give you enough water. You need to have that sprinkler on for a couple of hours. And so, given the forecast of, again, only sun and no rain, and some warm temperatures coming, 84, 85, 85, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday this week, all sun. And we've had some windy, weather, too. That's also wicking moisture away. The sun is stressing the plants. We're probably not officially in a drought, but we are effectively in a drought. So consider doing some serious watering. I went into Mayer's Hardware just yesterday, picked up a couple additional hoses. They have a couple of kinds of hoses that are not rubber, but are fabric or a little bit of metal and coiled, and much lighter, much easier to use, much easier to move around. And I've really become hooked on these. You can store them in much smaller spaces. They, we'll see how long they last, but they're not inexpensive, but they are much, much easier to work with. And loved using them the last couple of years. So I added a couple of additional ones. And in my front yard in the city of Rochester, I water the front yard once every 3 years. I don't have any lawn. I have plants, shrubs, trees, perennials, weeds, plenty of those. And it's kind of a garden, survival of the fittest garden in my front yard here on Trafalgar Street. And I never water. I mean, really, literally once every 3 years, I put the sprinkler out there and soak it when we have this kind of drought. And I'll be doing that this weekend, probably. Hopefully I can get away with just one really good soaking. And my yard's not that big, so I don't have to move the hose too much. Hopefully I can get through till next Saturday when we get some rain. The problem is that forecasts like that often change, and then the forecast will change to some thunderstorms on Saturday. And then Saturday gets closer, and then the thunderstorms get scattered, and then they just don't show up. So people see these things in the forecast, and they assume that that rain has come. Maybe they work in an office where they are just not, they don't think about how much rain we've had. They go outside and the ground is wet. They figure it rained, we're good, don't have to water. And this is, we're really dry. This is, I consider, a drought. The grass will start going dormant, or has already in some cases. And that's one of the reasons I don't have much grass. I don't need to water it. My backyard has a vegetable garden, and been doing some spot watering of that, but now I got to really soak it. I've been trying to avoid that. We're supposed to get thunderstorms a couple days ago. They, at least where I live here in the city of Rochester, they really didn't show up. So we got hot weather coming. We've had hot weather. We've had a lot of sun, and I get a little frustrated. It takes time to water. It's not inexpensive to water, pay for the water bureau. And rain barrels are not very helpful when there is no rain. Rain barrels are helpful when we get occasional rain or big downpours, because they'll collect that and hold that water for you to use. When we get a big downpour, it just runs off your lawn and your garden and things and doesn't soak in as much. So times like that, rain barrels work really well. But if you have a rain barrel right now, it's probably empty because we've had so little rain. And I've done some planting of a lot of my vegetables that grew were sown right in the ground instead of transplanted, and so they haven't needed as much extra water. But things that I have transplanted are they're more just like staying alive than they are growing. I don't seem to be able to water them enough to get them to grow. It's kind of frustrating. So I've been spending a lot of time watering newly planted things, and they're not going anywhere. So I think there's something different about the rain in terms of the plant's ability to absorb moisture. Maybe it's some electrical charge in the rain. Maybe it's the chlorine that's in the water that we use from the hose. I don't know what it is. And maybe it's nothing, but it just seems like plants respond better to rain than they do to water from my hose. So, water. And if you have comments and questions, email me, michael@saverlife.com. And one of the things I've done since I started doing radio shows was to buy the time on the station and then go and recruit my own sponsors. So when I started Naturally Green 26 years ago, Sarah's Garden Center, which was Kepler's Garden Center at the time, they sponsored me until I got additional sponsors. And so, and I've kept a number of those sponsors all these years. It's kind of amazing. Cook Iron Store, they were been a sponsor for almost all of that 26 years. Places like Wisteria Flowers and Gifts, they started as a sponsor a couple decades ago when they were opened their store in Pittsford, moved to East Avenue where Jacqueline's Bridal used to be, where Wegmans is now, and then many years ago now moved to their current very large location on Culver Road near University. Palmeter's Garden Nursery, the Arbor Barber, these are sponsors, Bacolo Tree and Lawn Care and the Nursery and Garden Center. These are sponsors that I've had for 4 decades. It's amazing. And such incredible people. Virgin Water Gardens, The Birdhouse, Gallia's Tropical Greenhouse and Florist. These are unique places, passionate people, some places you need to get to know. And my goal with recruiting sponsors really has always been that if you go to one of these sponsors, say you go to Virgin Water Gardens, and you can't believe the number of lotus and carnivorous plants and tropical water lilies and koi that they have on Buffalo Road between Churchill and Bergen. It's astounding. They're sending 400 lotus plants to Singapore, which is crazy. Singapore is shut down, so they're having problems getting them to Singapore, but a new botanical garden in Singapore ordered 400 lotus plants from here, from Bergen Water Gardens. So my goal is that you go to some of these sponsors and you're blown away by what cool places they are, how unique they are. You go into the birdhouse and you find really knowledgeable people. They must have hundreds of birdhouses. They've got bat houses and mason bee houses and butterfly houses, all kinds of things. And again, really, really knowledgeable people. And you go down the list of sponsors. These are people that I've grown to love and appreciate over all these years. I don't know if a lot of people probably don't realize that Merle and Sheila Palmeter went to China several times to look and visit the tree peonies in the wild growing in the mountains of China, and fell in love with tree peonies, which is why they have so many in their gardens, and it's why they have so many in their sales area, largely sold out this year. They still had maybe 10 tree peonies last time I was there about a week ago. But again, such a unique thing. Their daughter Marla, incredibly knowledgeable about plants, beautiful gardens, as I've said many times, a destination garden center. These are places that I've known for decades in many cases, and really want to introduce people to them. I want to share how cool they are, and also that they're local independently owned businesses, something that I've been a huge advocate for a long time. They are the fabric of our community. That's what makes us unique. There are chain stores, there are big box stores that are the same experience wherever you go. And maybe sometimes you have to go there for convenience, for something you can't find elsewhere, whatever reason. But consider that every vote, every dollar you spend is a vote. And that's a vote for local independent businesses, or it's a vote for chains and big box stores. And changing that percentage of dollars that you spend keeps over many people millions of dollars in our economy. It's crucial. Whether it's a local restaurant, a local garden center, a local business, perhaps a local insurance agency like the Tuke Agency. Again, some fantastic sponsors over the years, and I certainly would not have been on the radio for 26 years if not for these sponsors. They're the reason I was able to do and at least get halfway to Doc and Katie Abraham. So the shows will evolve as time goes by here. They probably won't all be an hour long because this isn't the radio. Some might be longer than an hour. I guess I can swear on podcasts, which I could never do on the radio. I actually got in trouble because a winemaker who won't get in trouble if I name him, August DeMel from Cuca Spring Vineyards, formerly with them, now with Constellation Brands, and congratulations to him, by the way. But he actually said shits and giggles during an interview with him about maybe a year ago on the radio. And I got in trouble for that. Like, you can't say that on the radio. It's like, shits and giggles is not a swear word. I'm not sure what it is, but anyway, I don't swear much, even at home. So you're probably not going to hear a lot of swearing on my podcasts. But there are some things that I can do differently. And if you have suggestions, comments, please send me an email, michael@saverlife.com. Found some more poison ivy this week, several spots. And really, it's crazy how much poison ivy is out there. So I've got a poison ivy page on my website. You can see some lookalikes, and I'm more than happy to try to identify what you have and let you know whether it is poison ivy. I saw several lookalikes this week. I've got a box elder tree that's a seedling that's growing right near my house. That looks just like poison ivy, but the group of three leaves comes out opposite each other on the stem. You know, it's in the maple family when that happens, and box elder doesn't look like a maple, but it is in that family. Poison ivy is alternating on the stem. Also, you know, I was looking at the Japanese anemones. Beautiful late-season blooming perennial, and they kind of have three leaves that you might... You know, a lot of people probably think it could be poison ivy, especially if you've had a bad experience with poison ivy in the near or not-too-distant past. So there are many lookalikes. Raspberries look like it, except, of course, most of them have thorns. You just have to look a little more closely to see those thorns. Also tend to have a gray kind of velvet or coating on the bottom of the leaves and the stems. But the thorns are pretty obvious. Strawberries even have three leaves. They're not pointed, so... But again, people do start to panic when they see three leaves. So send me photos, michael@saverlife.com. Love to see them, and I hope I can keep you from itching this summer. And if you're looking for specific plants to fill specific areas of your yard, love to help with that. Send me a couple photos, a little description. Maybe I can give you some suggestions. One of my favorite trees is starting to... the berries are starting to get ripe, and... Got some robins that are anxious. They can't wait for these service berries or shad tree or juneberry. It has many names. They can't wait for them to get ripe. They were pulling unripe berries off the tree, which I really wish they wouldn't do because I'd like to eat some of these berries. It tastes like blueberries, and they are just beginning to get ripe. And so you may run into them. They're a pretty tough tree. Sometimes, or often used in yards, sometimes in industrial settings, or not only industrial, but you know, like campus settings and institutional settings, you might run into the shad trees. U of R has quite a few at the river campus. And sometimes if there's lots of berries, the robins just can't eat them fast enough, and you'll get to eat some. The colonists used to make service berry pie, again, like a blueberry pie, and they're delicious. And there are some newer varieties that have been bred for larger berries, and there are a couple of farms in the Finger Lakes that have been growing these out, and the trees should be getting big enough that maybe you'll have a decent crop this year. And I've got to go in search of those farms again to figure out where they are. I read about them last year, and I've got to find out where they are, who has these service berries. So a great tree for your yard, and again, right now, those berries just beginning to get ripe. But I did hear, you know, in terms of fruit ripening and orchards, etc., we interviewed Amy McAmer and her daughter Amelia, and her mother Sue Heard McAmer also last weekend. All three generations of the Heard McAmer family. And they their stone fruit survived the late frosts, and they will have, assuming we won't get hail and some other disaster, some other, you know, some big storm that wipes out their crop. Unlikely at this point, but you just can't count on Mother Nature. But so far, so good. They will have cherries. They will have peaches. They will have nectarines, plums, all kinds of these great stone fruits. But I heard from Tina Hazlett down in Seneca Lake, east side of Seneca Lake, from Sawmill Creek Vineyards. They have a cherry orchard, and it just got too cold one of those nights in April. And they normally have U-picked cherries. They won't have those this year. They'll have a very tiny crop. And one of the reasons I mention this is whatever season it is, we shouldn't take it for granted. So when those cherries are ripe, I'm going to eat a lot of cherries and a lot of peaches and just kind of relish the fact that they survived a winter and survived a cold spring, frosty mornings. And strawberries are the latest one, and we'll talk a little bit about strawberries on the food show. So we'll also have a new show for Discover the Finger Lakes available here on the website. And we'll alert you if you want updates on podcasts, etc. Send me an email, michael@saverlife.com, and get out and do some watering, soaking your plants, because we got a lot of sunny weather in the forecast, which is awesome. But the plants are going to be pretty stressed. Have a awesome day, and I'm excited about the changes with my radio shows now moving to podcasts and online. And really, again, appreciate all your comments on my Facebook posts about this change. Have a great day. Michael Warren Thomas here, saverlife.com.